Welcome. I'm glad to see you're here again at the diner where the only dish we serve is the CLT sandwich. I hope you've returned with an empty stomach, eagerness, and a little bit of caution. Come inside and sample the dish where the flavor palette changes each week. From cryptids, to legendary people, tall tales, and myths from around the world. Stay a while, ignore the other patrons, and enjoy the dish that is the CLT sandwich.
Welcome back to the CLT Diner, where the only dish we serve is the CLT sandwich. My name is Anthony, and I have the honor of serving this wonderful dish to you. Enjoying today's dish with you is Sven and Jared! Say hello to your fellow diners, guys!
No, you go.
Hi.
Okay. Hello. I am Sven, son of Magnus.
Yeah, we got Jared Mindekine.
Yeah.
Which is really funny.
I'm not here.
Because last week I said we don't know when you're next time you're going to be on the podcast. Way to immediately prove me as a dumbass.
Well, I mean, they'll listen to that one before this one comes out. And then, you know, be like, hey, surprise, I made it back for another one.
Yeah. So,
do you know what we should listen to, though? Audiobook recording of The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay, a little early into that, but yes.
You can cut that and read.
No, I'm not going to cut that.
Cut it and put it where it belongs.
No, you can find that on YouTube. You actually can find one video that's 12 hours.
I prefer the Disney film.
Wait. I'm going to call you a damn liar because we literally talked about this on the podcast, how much you hate Disney films.
Yeah, but if it has a lot of singing, and again, some of them I like, I just skip past the singing if I don't like the song.
No, let me see.
Are there any Disney songs you really do vibe with?
My apologies. It's a...
Which ones?
Surprisingly.
I'm curious.
Probably Savages from Pocahontas.
Particularly Governor Ratcliffe's part.
I was thinking of Chief Padawan's.
No, actually, I do like... In the Hunchback of Notre Dame, I like the Hellfire song.
Because
that song is fucking great. Yeah.
Yes, we
the
are going to...
The tone of it's all great.
I'm bringing the knowledge of the book. And you guys can...
You got defending me. I like that one, too, just because... It's nostalgic
for me. I don't
know
if that counts.
I like watching Toy Story in that opening, just because it brings me back to being a small child.
Anyways, I apologize. The Hunchback of Notre Dame on Audiobooks Unleashed on the YouTube channel is not 12 hours. It's 21 hours.
Holy
so that's
shit.
A little dyslexic on my end. I apologize. You see, this episode, I'm kind of sorry. I didn't have a lot of time to research, so I did all my research while I was working today.
Oh.
I found a few videos to watch that gave me a 4-minute summary. I found a 17-minute summary. And so I'm just like getting the main points and making sure I bring those up. Because,
Yeah. Holy
shit, is this way different than the actual Disney cartoon?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, Disney modifies everything.
Which is a shocker.
Yeah, just to like spell it clearly for people, like transparency, we are covering the Grand Cathedral of Notre Dame,
yep.
The story of Quasimodo, and...
Maybe the Martyrs.
Maybe the Martyrs. But... And I was trying to figure out what his title would be, Father Frollo. Not Minister Frollo.
The actual character...
Was he a bishop?
He was the Archdeacon of Notre Dame.
He was the Archdeacon of Notre Dame.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest changes between the book and the novel. He wasn't a judge. He was part of the church.
It shouldn't be that surprising, though, because we talked about Cinderella and stuff, and Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast. And
that's
and
right, little... Cinderella was a man.
And the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, and
the Little Mermaid. They're drastically different than what Disney did with it.
My favorite is honestly the Little Mermaid.
She just turns to fucking sea foam.
Yep.
Most depressing story ever. There's no happy ending. Yeah. The sea witch has stolen my voice. And meanwhile, it's just her waving. Has no voice, just dying.
Yeah. Everyone, watch Actual Fairy Tales number one.
I think so.
I think it was that because we've done one and two. I think three is in this season.
I can't wait to fuck a mermaid.
So,
I love the okay.
So we're gonna talk a little bit about the Notre Dame.
Give me one of the deep sea ones that are slimy,
like Ursula.
No,
what made tentacles do?
I don't want that octopus.
Actually, she only has six tentacles.
I don't want octopus. Yeah, I want fish for some reason.
Eight legs, seven vaginas.
Imagine. But we're not talking about
Little Mermaid. Yeah, we're not talking about Little Mermaid. I know, we're talking about Quasimodo and his terrible life.
So we're talking about, and excuse my pronunciation, I did take a year of French so I can get the gist of it. Typically when I do my French accent in my head, I'm going, we're back to Little, stop little, bringing up Little Mermaid, damn it. But it is the Notre Dame de Paris.
It's because the crab died.
Or simply referred to as Notre Dame, which actually means Notre Dame means old lady. So the name of the cathedral is the Old Lady of Paris.
Which I will call her the Old Lady of Paris because she's been here forever.
Which, but they
wah.
They
as he twirls a mustache.
They actually it was really weird. They actually called that the whole entire time. It was always called the Old Lady.
Okay. Was it made by an old lady?
Our Lady.
Christian by an old lady?
No, it was just... it was actually... began construction in 1163 under Bishop Maurice de Sully.
Ah, then the Black Plague happened. It must slow down.
And actually, it was the French Revolution.
Ah, yes. The other... Another deadly thing that could have caused...
You know, the Black Plague... Yeah. Yeah, it was modified frequently. It was completed in 1260, but it was really... destroyed during the French Revolution. For some reason, people were against establishments and all that.
Don't the establishment.
No one doesn't like the French.
Even the French don't like the French.
It's true.
But then in the 19th century, it was actually, you know, it was properly restored, and it was the site of the coronation of Napoleon the First.
Like?
Yeah, Napoleon.
Like Russian Front Napoleon?
Yeah.
Wow.
A Christian.
Do you really think that he wouldn't call himself Napoleon the First?
I am Napoleon the First. You will never take it away from me.
But, yeah, so... I was originally...
The soul of a chihuahua is given the body of a man.
Originally, we were gonna... I was going to, you know, talk about the cathedral, some origin, like, a lot of history of it, and then talk about the martyrs, the saints that are around it, and then end up with the Notre Dame, the Hunchback of Notre Dame. But the Hunchback of Notre Dame is a lot more interesting, and there's not a lot about the statues that are around. I will bring up, because I have to, Saint Denis, or Denis de Pelly, is my ancestor, which is really fun.
I mean, you didn't have to bring it up.
No, I have to. It's literally...
He loves talking about
dude,
it.
Dude, if I ever go to France, I'm taking three photos of me and my
related
ancestor.
To that guy.
Like,
or girl. Or non-binary pal.
Like, hey, that's me. So, yeah, we're...
God,
so we're gonna talk about the Hunchback of Notre Dame, a novel which was only 10 chapters, but
was every chapter like 80 pages?
I mean, this is a pretty big fucking story, but it was.
You think one chapter is try 10?
The
more this Bible stuff.
It was written by Victor Hugo.
Victor Hugo.
Yeah, which you might know. Oh, I'm just double checking.
Yeah, he was the guy who was therapist for Batman.
That's Dr. Hugo.
Yeah, but he has Hugo in his name.
He's Doctor Strange, isn't he? Actually.
Yeah, it's Hugo Strange, but he said Hugo,
no,
so
Doctor
I had
Strange.
To go for it.
Yeah, Hugo's the surname, though, not the given name. Which you might know him from, like, Les Mis. He's the one who wrote Les Miserables, one of Jared's favorite musicals.
That is false. We talked about this yesterday. I'm not going to rehash that.
So, bitch. You know, Victor Hugo and all that. And it was written in 1482, but it was published in 1833.
That's a big time gap, but alright.
Well, it's written in past. Because
yeah, and your point is?
Actually, the reason why. There's actually a very specific reason why it's written in the past. In 1833, a lot of Gothic architecture was being torn down and replaced with the more of the modern at that time. Victor Hugo loved him some Gothic architect. And so he wrote this basically as propaganda for it. As a matter of fact, he has...
What a book.
In this novel, there are tangents about the architecture. of like the Notre Dame and other building. So much so it's been equivocated to Tolkien-esque descriptions.
But yeah, I was about to bring up, so it's like Tolkien with trees and flowers and rolling fields. One
flower spawned three generations of bumblebee. Amazing.
Which also spawned, which then made, which created, which then destroyed.
And then the hobbit took the honey to the barbecue, and thus our story begins. Eight chapters later.
Yeah. And there have been 20,000 years in between.
I may go on a quick tangent. I saw a Lord of the Rings quote that I liked about, Lord of the Rings is not about good triumphing over evil.
No.
Good does not always triumph over evil, but it is about evil destroying itself. Because, what happens to the ring?
It's dropped into a volcano?
Yes. It is trying to get away from Frodo and to Gollum, and it slips into the mountain and kills itself, pretty much. Good does not always triumph, but evil always destroys itself.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like how She-Venom killed herself.
She's gonna keep bringing that up, huh?
I am. It was the one of the stupidest moments I've ever heard.
It made her crazy. It's not hard to believe that an alien symbiote trying to rot your brain would make you go crazy.
I'm going to preface the story of the Hunchback of Notre Dame. When it was written, it used the term gypsy. It used it a very lot.
Mm-hmm.
Gypsy is not a good word.
No.
Jared the White Man. Gypsy is technically a slur, so I will be doing my best, you know, to say Romani, the Romani people, people of the Romani.
The nomadic people.
But, understand if I'm quoting, or, you know, I might slip because, you know, I grew up, the quote, you know, the Notre Dame, the Hunchback of Notre Dame movie, Four Frightened Gypsies, says frightened. Quiet Blow or some bullshit like that. Like, it's used a lot in there, so I'm reading and I might just auto-read.
Fair.
So I just want to preface it. Nothing against the Romani people. It's not like we're going out of our way to be the slurs and racism.
I will say, speaking of the gypsy slang, the movie Snatch. A great movie, but Brad Pitt plays one in that movie. And Jason Statham and his brother need a underground fighter for, like, bare-knuckle boxing. They end up with him. But that's what I was doing there, is they talk about the like, language they use, the way Jason Statham's character explained it. He's like, it's not quite British, but it's not quite Irish. It's something in between that really only they understand unless you're around them long enough. Nah, and Scottish. That's how they... And as they put it, that's how they... get to do the cons and things that they do is they just confuse people because they're constantly moving and whatnot. It's a bad thing that it's a bad
stereotype
that they have just because they were displaced people that would travel around.
Oh, trust me, there's some terrible stereotypes in this story.
Oh, there definitely will be.
So the story begins, and the biggest one of the biggest changes, the main character of the story. Can you guys guess who it is?
Esmeralda?
Quasimodo.
Actually, it's Pierre Grignon.
Who the fuck is that?
He is the storyteller of this story.
Okay.
A lot of the events happen around him.
Is he a gargoyle?
No, he's a man. He's actually he's a playwright.
Okay. Alright.
The closest equivalent, I would imagine, in the Disney film would be the jester, Clopin.
No, different character.
Oh, Clopin's in the story well? Interesting.
Of course he is.
But... The way I would, a good way I would equip a character I would relate to, have you guys seen Muppet's Christmas Carol?
Yes.
How Gonzo is Charles Dickens and the story happens around him and he's basically explaining it. That's what this character is.
Is this character actually present? Do people interact with
him? Yes.
Okay, so it's not like a like an invisible narrator.
No, he's walking around and he's witnessing stuff, he's interacting with people.
Okay.
So this is the biggest, that's probably the biggest change from the Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're...
Nothing.
Okay. I think Jared just did a slur.
Sorry, were you making sure that the spaghetti noodles you keep in your nose and the back of your throat were straight? I would try to describe the motions that our Jared here made. They're just too weird.
I think he was trying to do Clopale's mask. And Clopale, you know, the mask has a long nose and he's a skinny fellow, so Jared had to push back his fat neck.
That tracks.
So the book.
Welcome to our story.
You're doing Gonzo.
I was trying to figure out, like, because the way his, it was like, I don't want a fully closed nose, but like, it would have to be like partial to get, like, I don't know. I was trying to figure it out in my mind.
By the way, this the summary I'm from is actually not from Wikipedia, because Wikipedia have very short summary.
Wikipedia is not always the greatest.
This is from schmoop.com.
Schmoop?
S-H-M-O-O-P.
Can't wait to get schmoop. Me that schmoop.
Great.
So, there's a lot of flashbacks in this, so I'm going to do this as here as opposed to chronologically.
Why?
Because this is in the way the story's written and not chronologically. So,
one of those.
The story begins on January 6th, 1482.
Okay.
At the Festival of Fools.
Great year.
Yep, this is where the story begins. We all remember the Festival of Fools, Quasimodo's first day in Disney. Out there.
I can't wait to get out there and do things.
There was a, you know, there people are waiting for a play to begin. It was written by, and I like this, the obviously untalented Pierre Gringoire. I'm just going to call him Pierre, because that's last name. But, you know, while he's waiting for this all to begin, a man comes up and is like, he's blind. And he's like, Mutt, please. Or he's not blind, he's a beggar. He's like, he's getting all the distraction, he's annoying. He's annoying Pierre, but he's getting everyone's attention away.
Alms he's like, for the poor.
Exactly, alms for the poor.
Pauper.
And then, so, instead of, you know, the play, because this guy's being an asshole and distracting everyone, they decide, you know what? We're going to hold a contest for the ugliest person. The Pope of Fools. Because church, there's a lot of church stuff in here. So,
yeah, of course.
Pope of Fools. So, and, you know, they go through the crowd and they find this hideous man. He has a giant wart over one eye. He's covered with like red. His face is covered with like red marks. Got a big old hunch. It's our boy Quasimodo.
Oh, so what the hell were you doing there, Jared?
What is everybody looking at me for?
It's essentially.
Are you chicken chaser? You chase chickens.
What is a chicken chasing, though?
You just stand there like a lemon.
But, and we'll get into it, but he is also. Deaf. You know, Quasimodo is a deaf man because he rings the bells.
And the giant bells of the Grand Cathedral of Notre Dame going off in your ear every morning.
Every hour.
Every hour, actually, thank you.
Might even be a half hour. They might do the one ring every half.
That's going to be... The motions you are doing are so offensive to disabled people everywhere, Jared.
Nobody can see me. It's an audio medium. I was ringing the bell with a hunch.
It was. And
what were the cross eyes for? Cross eyes.
Because he has the wart, so I assume. Yeah, being half blind and the wart would fuck up one of your eyes. So.
Yeah. All right. I'll let you get away with it.
So
yeah, you know, I think things through.
So you know, they give Quasimodo this honor. Like, oh, quick, you're fucking ugly. Cool.
But I'm not ugly.
Anyways, but. Pierre, because he doesn't want to deal with all this. Thunder was stolen from him. He's pissed off, so he's going to fuck off. And he finds himself in the heart of the Palace de Greve, where a beautiful Romani woman is dancing and performing tricks with her pet goats. This is Esmeralda and Dejali.
Dejali? That's the goat.
That's the goat, yeah. Dejali is amazing.
Is she hot in the story, too?
She's 16, Jared.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Oh, that's right.
Like, I forgot the age, the time period.
I was going to say, I mean, she's beautiful enough to tempt an archdeacon from his vows, but she's 16. That tracks with.
Yeah, I forgot we're in the time period where nobody was in their 20s.
Quasimodo was.
Why are we all dying? But he's good.
I don't know what you mean, sir.
So, and
do you wonder why? It's because that motherfucker self-isolated in that tower.
Oh yeah,
he was like, "Get your quarantine ass filth away from me." Everyone's walking through the shit-covered streets of Paris, and he's living like a king in the highest
Quasimodo,
tower.
The quarantine king.
Awarded 2021.
Quarantine Moto.
So while
doing my new movie,
while performing and doing all this. Esmeralda has two hecklers. Very important characters. We have a bald priest and a crazy old woman.
An unnamed bald priest?
It is an unnamed bald priest at this moment. But
I'll tell you your future, boy.
The old woman is in Romani. She's actually part of the church. We'll get into her. We'll get into Sister, what's her name?
A secret nun.
Sister Gulde.
Isn't that a cheese?
It's French, so probably.
And how did the bald guy find time to help with the church when he was banging women all day for money?
What are you fucking talking
about? I don't know.
That's a reference to our conversation before the show. I thought you guys would get that and get a chuckle out of you two, but...
No,
yeah, I'm focusing.
Because he's bald, he's a porn star, obviously.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Sins.
Oh, Johnny Sins. Yes, Father Johnny Sins.
That would make a hell Father of a different Sins. Story.
I don't like Father Sins.
Please, Daddy.
Daddy Sins.
I mean, forgive me, Father, I have sinned, and punish me, Daddy, I've been bad. It's the same thing, right?
No.
Why is there a hole in this confession booth?
So... So as Pierre is witnessing Esmeralda dance,
cock of the Lord. Sorry, continue.
You, repent.
You must do it. You must suck 6 Hail Marys out of it. So as Pierre is watching, then the procession of the Pope of Fools enters the Palace de Greve, with Quasimodo as the centerpiece. You know, everyone's cheering him on because he's fucking ugly. Fantastic job. Well, I would do great here.
I would be amazing. I would be first place.
But as Quasimodo is the centerpiece, the bald priest from earlier, who now is recognized as Archdeacon Claude Frollo, stops it.
Stop your ever.
And he fucking goes up to Quasimodo and bitches him out.
Quasimodo, what have I told you about leaving the cathedral for pleasure? You ring the bell.
Well, I mean, isn't it...
I'm sorry, sir. Just needed some fresh air.
It's not really said that Quasimodo is, like, forced to stay in. And, like, he's not, like... It's not like he's forced to stay in, but at the same time, it's kind of like... It's just like, dude, don't go out there. You're not ready. You're not... You can't... You're not compatible with this outside world. He's still an asshole, because he's still, like, withholding him, but it's not like, you must stay within the tower only.
Yeah.
But he's still a jackass. And Pierre recognizes, oh, Frollo is clearly the master of Quasimodo.
Yeah.
I don't know the context of the master thing back in 1400 France. If it's like...
Probably more like a teacher, a mentor. Okay. Like Quasimodo is his ward, his, you know, he defends him, air quotes.
I mean, but then again, if we think the time period, and considering all... as they would put it, defects that he had as a person, he probably was not held to the same standard. Let's be real here.
Probably. Yeah.
That was very much, more than likely, a slave-master situation of, you are not okay for normal society, and you're my property now.
And we'll get into, eventually, well, soon, about Quasimodo and his relationship with Frollo.
Like relationship, but all right.
So, the two of them leave, and then Pierre decides to follow Esmeralda,
because
he loves her and she's really hot.
I know we're both young, but we could die tomorrow.
I had an awful thought. Based on what you said about, like, oh, what's the relationship between Archdeacon Frollo and Quasimodo, I'd be like, oh, Quasi, can you arch your lower back like your upper back it's arched?
Well, when he does that, he just straightens his whole spine. Oh, you don't only do while coming. So, he actually, Pierre...
Oh, I nutted so hard my scoliosis went away.
Oh! He witnesses an attempted kidnapping of Esmeralda.
Quasimodo does? Or Green?
Pierre.
Pierre, okay.
Pierre witnesses it. And it's Quasimodo.
And
a cloaked figure. They come up and Esmeralda's got some friends. And they're like, sorry, stop it. But Quasimodo, you know, ringing a bell not only makes you deaf, makes you really fucking strong.
Man's fit.
I'm sorry I have to do this for my master.
It's like in the Disney cartoon when they show him ripping chains, he can be that fucking strong.
Actually. Yeah. Because those are, like, even with the leverage of, like, the ropes for ringing the bells, those are heavy bells.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Also, the fucking vulture from the Jungle Book. That's what you sound like. I've been trying to put my finger on
it. He's doing a voice. Ringo Starr, actually.
So the vulture from the Jungle
Book. Yes. And the chicken from Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Yep.
Whack.
Space Duck.
Can't do the other one, so, you know, I'm improvising.
Who was the cloaked figure, I wonder?
It's a mystery.
The Brill mystery.
So he...
Better call Scooby-Doo.
You know, and Pierre, he sees these couple of the Romani people get knocked the fuck out by Quasimodo, and he's like, don't worry, I'll save you, raises up a finger and gets knocked the fuck out by Quasimodo.
Don't worry, I will help. I'm sorry.
I love that. Just like, he's like, I will save this damsel and this... Poof.
Somebody just walks into a bloodbath and broken faces everywhere. Like, good God, what the
Someone
fuck happened?
Someone does, actually. There is... let me get his full name. Phoebus de Chapteaux, the captain of the the King's Archers.
My God, you look like you got kicked in the face by a horse.
Captain Phoebus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you got kicked in the face by a horse. I am Captain Phoebus.
Yeah, and he's the hot guy from the Hunchback of Notre Dame cartoon.
I'd like to imagine if his name is Phoebus.
Is a word.
Well, comparative to Quasimodo.
If it's Phoebus with the accent, I feel like it would come off as Phoebus, and I just imagine that fucking Pokemon just in like a gown. Like,
just in
just
armor, just a head
poking out of it. So he comes and he sees Quasimodo, and he fucking arrests Quasimodo.
Well, I imagine there's only one dude.
I feel like Quasimodo lets this happen after taking on three grown men.
Yep. And the cloaked figure escapes.
Of course. Because, you know, you gotta rape
we never
a 16-year-old
know who he is.
Somewhere.
We never find out who he is.
He slides Bill Cosby. Away on his presumably bald head. No, he's got holy rubbing oils, and he keeps it slick so he can just, like, roll his skate out.
He's got Heelys.
That he keeps hidden under his long robe, so it looks like he just glides across the ground.
When Pierre comes to, he wanders the streets, he walks down the street, and he finds himself in the place called...
Hold on. Captain Phoebus happens upon this.
Yep.
Arrests Quasimodo. He's like, yeah, that robed guy can get away. That's fine. Looks at the three bodies. They're fine.
Yeah, not
no medical attention needed. No physician.
His 1,400 friends. Not his monkeys, not his circus.
Fair enough.
He just wants to save the cute little 16-year-old girl. So, Pierre walks around the streets, and he finds himself in the Court of Miracles. Well, the Col de Miracles. You remember this place from the Disney one, right?
Yeah.
Pal and all the hangout. And the reason why it's called the Court of Miracles is because where the blind can see, those who need crutches can suddenly walk. Because they're all lying and tricksters.
Yeah, they're all scammers, you know, that terrible stereotype about the Romani people.
Yep. So that's why it's called the Court of Miracles. And their king, Clopel Trolifour. He sees Pierre walk in, and Clopel's like, nah, you've seen too much. We're gonna hang you.
He just stumbles upon this area.
Uh-huh.
Is it like in a back alley?
It's in the underbelly of Paris.
How do you stumble into
the catacombs?
basically at the catacomb.
Did he fall down Monsieur and...
I wonder where, like, oh no, Leno!
Oh, Leno!
Where am I now? You must be hung. Oh no, Leno!
Oh, this must be the fabled Court of Miracles.
You've seen Camacho. Yes.
But when he's like, okay, there'll be one way for you to get out of this, Clopale tells to Pierre. You get a Romani woman to marry you.
It just so happens I found a really cute one earlier, but she got taken away from me.
And so, thus stops up Esmeralda, the good-hearted woman, her young child, and said that she will marry him to save his life.
I will marry the man to save his life. How old are you again?
Now to rescue her from the fortress.
No, actually, there's a lot more. But Esmeralda basically says, yo, I married you to save your life. I don't love you. We're not going to do anything. Fuck off.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah, that's fair.
And boy does Pierre make a different friend, though. The goat.
Excuse me?
He becomes really good friends with the goat.
Is he fucking the goat?
He's not fucking the goat, but he prefers the goat.
I think he's fucking the goat.
Read between the lines there. It's fine.
It's so, consensual.
Now we have a flashback. Yep, to 16 years earlier.
Yep. Before Esmeralda was born.
Yep. There was a severely... Actually, they should be about the same age, Quasimodo. I don't know why I said 20, but he should be the same age. We'll get into that. But as Notre Dame was, there was a spot that you put unwanted children.
Like and a firehouse.
Sewer.
Like what?
Like a firehouse.
No.
Or a well.
Yeah.
No, what this was, is there was a literal place that you would put children, and people would pass by and be like, you know what, I kind of want a kid. And they would pick it up and walk away with it.
I don't imagine...
That sounds like socialism to me.
I don't imagine anyone walking by and be like, oh, baby, this screaming, dirty child. Yeah, I could use a kid. I could use something like that in my life right now.
Sometimes, hey.
How many dead children were there? Like, there would be if it was just a random puppy that someone's like, I can't really afford it. But you know what? Gosh darn it, it's there and it's mine now.
Actually,
sounds like a terrible practice in this story, for children.
In this story, actually, a lot of kids were immediately taken by people.
I can imagine.
Except for one. The severely deformed foundling.
Morty
Guan. Yep. And so, this being at Notre Dame, you know, a very young priest worked there, Claude Frollo.
Yeah.
And he watched this child be looked at, screamed, sneered at because he was deformed and kept walking away. And Claude Frollo, he and his brother, their parents died at a very young age, and he had to raise up his younger brother by himself. And he's seeing this poor child being sneered at. And he's like, I'm adopting this kid. I'm going to give him a good life. And then called him semi-formed. Half-formed. But yeah, no, that's why he adopts him. It's not out of fear or guilt of killing an innocent woman. It's because he feels bad for the kid. No one else wants the kid, so he takes the kid.
Yeah, from what I understand, Frollo is a... He's still a villainous character. He's an antagonistic character, but he's much less...
Rapey,
and... Well, no, I mean, that kind of comes later. He gets a little bit there, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he's just less of a douche. He's like, oh, that's a poor kid, I'm going to adopt him and, you know, try to give him a good life. He doesn't necessarily do that, but...
I wonder if this child will enjoy the music.
No, he's younger now.
That no one else will enjoy.
No, that was his voice his entire life. Oh. He came out the womb talking like that.
Mama. In an octopus's garden... Oh, he seems to enjoy it. I will keep him.
So,
In an octopus's garden. Oh, he's learned.
And he's, you know, and because of this, Quasimodo, extremely devoted to Frollo. Because, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he took him when no one else would.
Unfortunately, Frollo, this is the part I think you're gonna, this is a twist you're gonna love. He got more mean and more fucked up as he got older. And he became obsessed with alchemy and black magic, actually.
Who did now? What?
Frollo.
what no pussy does to a motherfucker.
Yeah, and he then became an incel. Because he hates women.
I can't believe she left me for
that's
that
exactly what bother. Happened. It's because either...
maybe I'll teach
he was either an unattractive man who women... He was an incel. He was a jackass.
He was... He well...
Like, I am a deacon. I am a priest. I have station. Have sex with me. Love me. And they're like, nah, bro.
He actually has a vow of celibacy. Because he worked for the
this
church.
This is what a vow of celibacy does to people.
That's what I was saying. Like, it's all internalized. So, he's like, I can't have sex with... I can't have sex with these women because of my vows, and it's their fault.
Yeah. It's weird, because he's not... He's like a... A voluntary incel. And the in an incel means involuntary. So it's a voluntary, involuntary self. He's a vol incel. And he really hates women, especially the women of the Romani. Because...
Oh, surprise.
Yeah. And, you know, 16 years go by. And one night, about a year before the events of the novel, Frollo receives a visit from the king's physician and another guest. And they discuss the legitimacy of alchemy, science, and medicine, and astrology. It is revealed that at the guest's departure, he's actually King Louis the 11th.
It was the king in disguise.
Yes, it was the king in disguise. And during the meeting, Frollo makes a passing comment how the printing press would destroy the cathedral.
That's a joke, right?
That's funny.
No.
That's very funny.
It's very funny. It didn't, like, amplify their power thousandfold.
I love the idea of alchemist, dark magician Frollo, though.
It is, because...
Also, he's an astrologist. He's like, oh...
Stars.
Sorry, I tried to kidnap and rape that 16-year-old. Mercury was in retrograde.
See that constellation.
Sorry. It's just an Aries thing.
It's an Aries thing, you know.
None of us are Aries, right?
No.
Today, Quasimodo, we will be making a classic little concoction.
I can totally see that mental progression, though.
No, I'm a Cancer. I'm July.
You killed my grandma?
Of him. Wow. Being like, oh, I'm
just outside of Aries.
Vow of celibacy. And he's like, I want to fuck, but I can't. And somehow that's the women's fault. Because I'm a holy man.
I'm outside of a Leo.
But I can't be hating on the Parisian women, so I gotta be hating on the foreign women. They'll let me do that.
Yeah.
No.
Idiot.
Yeah, it's all...
I how you really feel. Them.
But it's also really funny, because it says
fuck
that
incels.
The narrator gives a lecture on the printing press. Which, as we said, there's a lot of him going off about architecture and stuff, so I can really see him just being like, so the printing press was invented in 1292 by Abraham Lincoln.
Well, it's clear that the narrator is Hugo's self-insert.
I mean, yeah. Which worries me about his self-interest.
I like to imagine that there was just a group of people that followed him around and he was the original How It's Made. If you look at this building, what they would do in the process, everyone around him like, oh my god, I catch every show I can. Absolutely amazing.
And
did
now
you know they shovel the shit.
Now we get to we're back to the modern day, and Quasimodo is brought to trial. And
yeah,
as we said, Quasimodo is deaf.
Okay,
what?
The judge is also deaf.
Oh my!
Oh, so these motherfuckers were like sign languaging each other the whole time.
I don't
they're
know.
Casting magical
no,
spells.
But what does happen?
What, Your Honor? What?
Essentially, and the crowd starts laughing, because I'm sure it's a humorous situation. A deaf person and a deaf person being tried by a deaf person who's trying to figure out the fate. And so the judge sees everyone laughing and is like, this motherfucker's making fun of me, because I'm deaf. You are to be flogged.
I feel like that's a...
Poor kid.
I don't think it should be the judge if he can't hear, though.
Why? You saying people with disabilities can't be judges?
Back in that time, before there was, like, a universal sign language, I think
there's
so.
No
there isn't a universal sign language.
But I don't mean it like that.
ASL is American Sign Language.
That's what I'm... Just something, like... Because in, like, the 1400 era, like, they wouldn't have had sign language at all. It would have just been, you're fucked.
Well, maybe he got deaf later in his life.
Maybe 1400 Paris needed American Sign Language.
Well, not Jared, American Sign Language, but just some form of sign language. Jared. Like, they wouldn't have had it. So, like, having a deaf judge, Jared. I feel, defeats the purpose of having a judge. They had writing.
That.
Yeah, but if he can't fucking hear you,
he was a man.
And plus, so again,
how rare do you think a judge was? These people were experienced.
See, you're assuming that he would know how to write,
and you're
again,
assuming he doesn't.
Well, again, it's the 1400s. There wasn't just everyone going to school. It was very much
he's
like if you can
judge,
make it to school,
he
you
has
can get to school.
The experience. He has the knowledge. They don't.
I feel like
they don't
putting,
pick a fucking Joe Schmo off the street like you're the judge today. Wear the hats.
Wear the hat.
I think we're putting it in too much of a modern text of like just to assume.
And I think you're assuming that this is fucking bumfucks just shitting.
Well, there wasn't even like most majority of like everyone knows to read right till like the 1700s even where like things started to get a little bit more in that direction. But even then, it wasn't great. So I can't imagine by the 1400s earlier than that just everyone had some basic understanding of reading and writing. It was. Very hit and miss.
Also, I feel like if sign language were around back then and people started doing sign language at each other, they'd be like, that's witchcraft.
Yeah, that's
Cut
true.
Cut their hands off.
But, I mean, even if the judge understood that, Quasimodo, I...
Jared, I mean, you're
I don't know if
you're
he
thinking,
would
You're caring too much about this. It's there because it's funny and to get the judge pissed off so Quasimodo will be
Yeah,
punished.
I know. I'm just... I don't know.
So,
it seems poor.
So he's sentenced to flogging, which is whipping, and
yeah.
2 hours in the pillory, which is something that holds you stationary.
I hold you stationary.
You know, it holds your hands, and so people can throw shit at you.
Oh, that's right.
Meanwhile, we're gonna fucking. We're going to talk about three women and a young boy discuss the story of Paquette La Chantefleur. And I like how this is put it. A woman of, and I'm going to quote this word for word, quote, a woman of loose virtue, end quote.
Woman of the night.
Yeah. And
prostitute.
Her, basically, yeah, she was a prostitute. And her, whose child was taken in the middle of the night. By the Romani people, who she assumes ate them.
Racist much?
Well, I mean, why you gotta hate on child cannibals?
Why are you assuming that all Romanian...
There could be, you could know a child cannibal.
I do know one. I'm looking right at him.
Hey, remember, baby tastes best.
Call me out like that, huh?
Yeah.
By the way, I... At the very least, we'll say, I support sex workers. Pop off,
yeah.
Everyone.
That's their rights.
They have more more safety overseas than they do here.
Because it's illegal here.
Exactly. Anyway.
Anyway, so this, not only was her baby taken, but in the place, they left a deformed child.
The Fae.
So
he's a changeling.
You can guess who that was. Well, the difference was the deformed child they left was a boy and the girl that was taken was a girl.
Yeah, and gender is fluid.
This woman holed herself up in the rat hole at the Palais de Greve for the past 15 years.
Never thought to go look for the child or anything? Yeah.
Well, no, her child. She assumes her child got eaten.
Sorry, what?
She thinks the Romani people ate her kids. We talked about
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
she assumes her kid's dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Poor parenting. God, people are dumb.
She was also known as the sack woman.
So, I bet she was.
So then Quasimodo is now brought to the Place de Greve and is flogged. You know.
I'll give you
he's
a flog.
He's whipped and he's tied down to this spinning wheel. Where he spun, and people. This is where people are throwing rotten fruits and all that. Which you can see this in the Disney movie.
I'll see it in a Disney movie.
Yeah, you will. It's called The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Came out in 1996.
I've seen it.
And while people are throwing shit at him, he asks for water.
Water.
More water.
But you know he. No one's gonna help him. because they're all having so much fun. Except Esmeralda, who comes up and gives him water. And this is the first kind thing that's ever happened to Quasimodo in his life. So he's immediately enamored with her.
Nobody's ever given me water before.
Yeah. No. I mean, yeah. Because Frollo's an asshole. But,
okay.
A few weeks later, Captain Phoebus, you know, he's sitting around with his betrothed and his embroidering circle. And, you know, he's trying to talk about his conquests and, you know, trying to sound cool and stuff. But he's also not trying to talk about his women conquests. Because he doesn't want to seem like a douchebag.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly he hears a tambourine in the square below. And then he recognizes, is Esmeralda playing the tambourine? Why is he a turkey? No, honestly, answer me, Jared. Why'd you make Phoebus a turkey?
I'm pretending Phoebus.
Ah, he's a fish, got it.
Yeah.
Fish well known for their tongues.
Yeah, they have tongues.
And their lips.
I mean, they have tongues.
Oh. So...
Fuck you.
He goes... the girls get Esmeralda to come up the stairs and dance with them. Because they're like, oh my god, isn't that the girl that you saved? From that horrible, wretched creature? And that mysterious man that we will never find the identity of. But when she shows up, they get extremely jealous because she's really beautiful.
I'm so jealous of the 16-year-old girl.
Yikes.
One of the girls lures out Dejali and gets him into a corner. And the goat is he's a trained goat. He knows tricks. Like, he can count. He can tell time. He can imitate politicians.
I'm sorry, what?
He can count. He can tell time.
Okay.
Jared, horses can tell. They can count.
Yeah, I know, but the way you're...
He can count. He can tell time. He could imitate a politician. I like how...
That's counting, the one I'm...
Okay. No one knows. But also, another trick that he knows is he can spell words. And Esmeralda has a little bag, and so the Jolly spells out the word Phoebus with the letter tiles. Esmeralda, therefore, you can understand that she taught him how to spell Phoebus, so he's clearly on her mind. And then they kick her out.
Oh, okay. Because
they're jealous. And then Phoebus follows her.
I bet he does.
Here we go.
So... Esmeralda is back to dancing in the square, and who should be looking at her?
Archdeacon Claude Frollo.
Archdeacon motherfucking Claude Frollo from his cell in Notre Dame. He's fucking watching her, and he sees that she's with a strangely dressed man, and he hurries down to see what the fuck's going on. On his way down, he knows that...
Is this guy bothering you, queen?
My queen!
And on his way down, he sees that Quasimodo is also staring down at the square.
Oh, hello.
And...
I see you come to visit me.
Frollo recognizes the strangely dressed man as Pierre. So good old pal Pierre, who's now become a tramp with the Romani people.
A tramp being a vagabond.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Charlie Chaplin's character is called a tramp.
Yeah.
Like, so you can think about that character, like, blue shoes, just goes around doing whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, kind of silly, vaguely shady, I would say.
Yeah. So he's embraced the full Romani lifestyle, according to this novel. Yeah,
and orgies all the time.
Probably, dude.
Probably.
When Frollo hears that Pierre is her husband, he flips out and he goes up to Pierre, and you're gonna fucking love this. And he goes, "You fucked her? Did you fuck her?"
Well, I mean, depends on what the context of that is.
Very priestly thing to do.
He says he questions whether or not he has slept with her, but I like that instead. Fucking imagine you're talking with your wife, and then a fucking bald, sweaty man comes up to you. Did you fuck her?
Who is very recognizably the Archdeacon of Notre Dame.
Have you fucked her yet?
He's probably in holy robes. He's like, did you fuck her? Did you fuck her? Answer me, Pierre.
Did you fuck her? I am sorry, what do you mean by that?
Yes or no, Pierre. The cherry, is it popped? That's vile.
Yes or no, is the juice ripened or not?
one day in March, Frollo's dissolute, broke younger brother, Jean... decides to go ask his brother for some money. While he's with his brother...
Yo, that Archdeacon salary hit me up.
Probably the church being...
Meanwhile, Frollo is in his personal chambers.
Yep, which they call his cell. Diary.
Why can one not pop pussy in the name of the Lord?
How dare she marry Sir Chad?
How dare she
and not look at me? I'm a handsome man.
Why aren't all these hussies hating on my holiness? I'm not allowed to fuck them. It's their fault.
Why dost thou pussy question deny with me?
Aggressive underlines.
Why do so, I cock block myself while with religion?
While he's talking, you know, with his brother, another man shows up, to which Frollo has Jean. Also, I like how it says Frollo as opposed to Jean's not a Frollo. It's Claude. His brother Frollo has Jean Hyde. And the second man talks some shady alchemy with Frollo, but then mentions Frollo's request to arrest Esmeralda as a sorcerer. Sorceress. Frollo turns pale and diverts his question. And then, you know, he sees a fly caught in spider web, and he goes on to a triad about fate, like a really good villain would.
You know what that fly has that we don't? The sweet release of death.
I gotta say, if I'm hanging with
someone... What is that supposed to mean?
If I'm hanging with someone already on shady business and they go on a monologue while I'm there, I'm like...
I'd look around for the camera. I'd be like, what fucking film am I?
Am I part of one of these hidden camera shows, candid camera? Smile, oh, you got me, Frollo.
No, I'm simply saying that one must die for others to live.
This is getting a bit heavy. I'm going to step out for a minute.
Yep. And actually, the two of them leave together.
Of course they do.
And Jean crawls out of his hiding place to go meet up with Phoebus. And the two of them, you know, he just heard that Esmeralda might be being arrested for being a sorceress. So he goes up to Phoebus. And they get fucking plastered. Because Phoebus, he's got a hot date that night with Esmeralda.
Why is everybody Christ. Trying to fuck this underage woman?
I don't fucking know. Well, Quasimodo, because it was the first person... I don't think Quasimodo wants to fuck her. I think he just wants to be around her.
I think you misunderstand how lonely you get ringing bells for 20 years.
I mean, just like wrap the rope around your dick and let the bell give it a tug.
So... on his way...
Maybe that's why he's not horny, though. Maybe he did try that, and it's just gone now.
I prefer the idea that Quasimodo was just like, you were really nice to me, that's cool, we should, you know, hang out. More of a deep platonic love, let's be friends, than a, yo, yeah. Does it fart?
Is there grass in the field?
Oh, no.
On Phoebus's way to his date with Esmeralda, he is accosted by a hooded figure.
The return.
Return of this mysterious hooded figure. Who
art thou, hooded figure, who doth ride towards me as though with thine as he leaves?
But, you know, Phoebus is going to go get a room with Esmeralda.
Yep.
And this hooded figure is like, oh, you know what? I hear that's pretty pricey. I'll pay for it. If I can go into your closet and watch.
If you let me watch you give it to her.
Fuck, he's such an incel. Oh my god.
Hellfire.
Phoebus, drunk, agrees.
Sure, bro.
Excellent.
So, you know, Frollo wearing, this is obviously Claude Frollo. Spoiler alert.
No, obvious.
So he's wearing like a kind of a disguise with a cloak, and you know his face is kind of hidden. So Phoebus, you know, they set up this whole thing where Frollo is in the closet, and Phoebus gets Esmeralda in there, and you know he starts in his process, his work, and his magic of being seduced, of seducing Esmeralda.
I can't understand you.
Hey, baby, let me take you down by the fire.
Then, you know, as he's working his magic.
Work the magic.
Frollo quietly opens the closet door and fucking stabs Phoebus a bunch of times.
All this right. Is what you get, you cuck.
And Esmeralda sees Frollo's face and she feels him kiss her. As she starts to faint, because, you know...
She just watched someone get murdered.
Yeah.
And she's 16.
Yep, and a creepy man just also start going towards you, like...
I'm going to teach you what I learned from my friend Cosby.
T-posing.
That's
what he did.
It is Heelys.
He had two knives, he T-posed, and then he just rotated in his Heelys and, like, helicoptered Phoebus.
Oh my god,
So, Esmeralda, after waking up, the king's guards, the men, around, she's like, awesome! Why'd you stab our king, why'd you stab our boss? You're going to jail. Okay.
But I'm innocent.
No one else around here. Who else would be in this room besides you two?
Oh, how weird. It's so strange. Almost as if a bladed weapon was used of some kind.
And there's no bladed weapon here.
As you're just slipping him out the window? Oh, how strange.
No, I'm sure this was...
We'll have to
this
look
was,
for the weapons.
This, Frollo was long gone by this point. But, you know, they look for their boss, look for their captain.
Strange. It's almost like a wheel shape rolled through his blood over here.
It's like a fucking Beyblade. Le blade. Le pomme de terre de le blade. And so...
Oh my god, that's how he killed him.
He sharpened a potato.
He came out from the closet and just went,
let it rip.
And Beybladed him in the back.
Holy is my rip.
The spirit of mine is the Holy One.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I'ma rip it up.
So, a month goes by.
Oh, God.
And Esmeralda's brought the trial. And so was her goat.
Why did it take a month?
Because?
Because it's the penal system, man.
Yeah.
I know why.
Anyway.
The judge's door was locked, and no one... He couldn't hear anyone knocking.
Sir?
My lord, minister, monsignor.
No. He's just in there, just to himself, humming
sleeping
whatever.
For a month.
But
this
doing
is what
his
a
own
deaf
thing.
Person hums like.
Or every time he left his chambers to like go get food, it just... Perchance he ran into nobody. I haven't seen anyone in a month around here.
Do you ever wonder, like, what deaf people hear, like,
nothing.
In their own head? Like, you can't hear the outside, but, like, I feel like your brain would make something.
There's, you can Google this. They've asked.
Is it the worst songs ever made? And that's just all
they
know.
They think in hand signs, actually.
That's fascinating.
I'm not even fucking with you, Jared, because that's how they learn how to talk, so that's how they think. Like how someone who speaks Spanish thinks in Spanish, how we think in English, they think in hand signs because that's how they think.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, remember her goats and how he knows tricks?
Sure.
You know, like telling time, spelling things. So they make him do a trick, and what does the goat spell? You remember?
Ass. Phoebus.
He spells Phoebus. And they're like, fucking witchcraft.
She did it! The goat knows!
So, like, just confess to the murder.
Bro, I didn't do it.
All right, you're going to be tortured.
He only knows how to spell Phoebus.
So, yeah, she refuses to confess to the murder, and they have her tortured. To which she, like how Jared and, not Jared, how Mike and Sven and I said on last week's episode, she immediately breaks, says like, yep, I did it.
Well, because if you torture somebody, they're going to tell you anything.
Yeah, and this would happen last week. Like, you would bring out the fucking car battery, and I would fucking be like, okay, yep, here's where you can find me, the secret code is this.
Yeah, no, you're going to immediately crack. That's the problem with torture itself, is even if somebody's not guilty, they're going to tell you whatever it is that to make it stop.
So she confesses, and she is sentenced to be hanged. So she's then taken to an underground...
A life cut too short.
Yeah, only 16. She's then taken to an underground prison, and who should happenstance become to go see her?
Archdeacon Claude Frollo.
Archdeacon Claude Frollo! Who says, yo, you're gonna be killed tomorrow, man. Girl.
They let her play the last song that she was played in her jail cell.
Nobody knows.
Was the, if I remember right, Motley Crue song, She's Only 16.
Yeah.
They just played that as they were like, well, you'll die tomorrow, but here's some future music for you.
But instead of that, he could then, Frollo confesses his love for her.
Yeah, see, that's why they played that song.
And he says, you know what?
I know I'm an older man, but damn.
If you confess your love to me, I'll let you out and we'll just leave.
If you confess you want a sugar daddy, I may be able to get you out of here.
You color in there, Sven?
I'm making a meme, sorry.
Oh, no, you're
a meme?
So, Esmeralda is disgusted by this old man.
Oh, I bet. It's a fucking old man.
And so, Frollo...
I can see your balls in your robe and I'm not impressed.
An old man, after she's been sentenced for a murder she didn't do, is like, hey, fuck me and I'll let you out of here. She'd be like, yeah, you're kind of sus.
Well, she also saw his face.
That's right, she did. She's like,
I saw
you.
What you did with your Beyblade.
You knew nothing.
So, you know, because
I saw you rip it.
So because he's pissed off, he rubs in that Phoebus is dead.
Bladed him in his back.
Oh, you won't fuck me? Here, let me make you angry. That'll do it.
You could say he activated my trap card.
But, however, Phoebus is not dead.
Really?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he's trying to hook back up with his betrothed, Fleur de Lis. He's at her house the day that Esmeralda is to be hanged. And the two of them see her being led in the front of the cathedral to do penance before her execution.
As it turns out, that Beyblade was made of plastic. It was a ketchup packet. I made him believe I was dead.
And so Frollo again is present, and like in the movie, he asks her again, like, yo, you and me? And she says, nah, fam.
I hate the fact you just said what you said.
You and me?
No, after that.
Nah? Oh, fam.
Yeah.
I thought you were bae. Turns out you were just fam.
It just makes you look older.
YOLO. Esmeralda is about to be led away when she sees Phoebus. Because she thought he was dead. She faints.
Of course.
And Phoebus, seeing Esmeralda taken away, is like, fucking good, she stabbed me.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, he thinks that he actually was stabbed by her.
So you're telling me that one of the...
Captain of the archers.
One of the most compelling parts of this story is a game of whodunit.
Well, we know it's Frollo. That's a... I forget the term for that.
She knows it's Frollo, too!
Oh, yeah. But no one's gonna think it's the prince. The priest.
Please, baby, just repent to me. Tell me you tried to murder me.
So...
No, it was Frollo! He ripped it right onto your back!
So, as, you know, she's being pulled away as she's fucking limp as shit, fucking Quasimodo busts open the front door of the of Notre Dame, wraps her, and pulls her inside.
Sanctuary!
Exactly. He claims sanctuary, which means she cannot be, you know, no one can come grab her, the people, the army can't do anything to her.
Did he swing from the statues like in the movie?
You know, he doesn't swing from the statues in the movie. You're thinking of Small Soldiers.
No, he does some swinging.
Well, yeah, he's a big old ape man.
You don't remember that from the Disney movie?
Yeah, but
how he saves her, he holds up, down.
Yeah, but he holds up saying sanctuary.
He
doesn't swing going sanctuary, sanctuary.
No, I wasn't saying that. I'm saying did he pull the Spider-Man thing to go save her?
No, he busts out the front door.
Well, that's fair.
So Frollo, meanwhile, is left too early to see that Quasimodo rescued him. And when he returns to the cathedral, he sees Esmeralda and thinks he's seeing a fucking ghost.
I must be being haunted by my father.
Oh no.
Oh bother.
Quasimodo actually sets up Esmeralda her own little room, and he avoids her. So she doesn't have to look at him. And during this time, he actually tries to get Phoebus. He tries to find Phoebus for her. But Phoebus refused to come.
Maybe I am trying to get
to you. Man, Quasimodo is a real one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, he's a great guy.
He's a champ.
Yeah, he's like, okay, you know what? I know I'm ugly, so I'm going to avoid you. You look, Phoebus, I know you didn't say anything to happen. Let me get him for you. He's also Defa, by the way. So he's great. Frollo now found out that Esmeralda is in
Morse code with the bells of Notre Dame.
P. Beep, 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 beep.
See, I thought about that too. I thought about that he just has a needle with him and he just puts Braille into your hand. Like, he just pokes it out.
Okay. Oh, Jesus.
Why is he putting dots on my hand? That's how he talks.
It's weird, really. So Frollo tries to rape Esmeralda. But Quasimodo fucking stops him. And imagine he picks up Frollo by the back of his, like by the nape of his neck. And he's about to fucking kill him. And he's like, oh, it's my master. And drops him.
You know, I said Frollo was a less villainous character in this. Clearly, I had no idea.
He literally tries rape her.
Yep.
So.
And murder.
Yeah. So Frollo, now seeing that Esmeralda has the beefcake of his adopted son as a bodyguard, who probably won't fucking try to kill him, but will definitely stop him. He's like, you know what? I need help.
Okay.
Yo, Pierre, I know where your wife is. You should rescue her. So, Pierre gathers an army of the Romanis, and they attack the cathedral to rescue and free Esmeralda.
I'm sure the Parisians looked at all these foreigners attacking the old lady of Paris and were like, yeah, that's chill.
Of course. Well, I'm glad you said it. Well, matter of fact, they attack the cathedral and Quasimodo sees this. And it's like, oh fuck, these people are trying to kill Esmeralda. Because, you know, blind, deaf.
Yep.
Has issues. Yeah. Dumb. So he fucking starts throwing rocks.
Helen Keller over there.
And molten lead down at them.
The boy just has lead up there. It's like, yeah, oh my, it's all coming around. That's where the dumb comes from. Is the boy just like, I like licking lead. Frollo brings him fucking paint and he just eats it. If someone hurled, do you have any idea how dense and heavy lead is? Someone threw molten lead at me, I'd be like, I'm done.
You would be
you're
dead.
Done.
Morale
you're
broken.
Done. You're yeah. cooked. And not to mention, that's going to be fucking dense as fuck. So you're not only cooked, but you're concussed. You're dead when that thing hits you, you're on the floor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But you're right. You know, the army of Paris, they see, you know, a bunch of Romani attacking. So they, too, get up arms and start to go defend it. And they're like, oh, God, you know, we got to get this Esmeralda girl. So they get, like, a thing from the king saying,
the captain's murderer.
She can no longer have sanctuary.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so now the army is coming to get Esmeralda and get rid of the Romani people. And Quasimodo, seeing the army of Paris comes up, is like, they're here to rescue Esmeralda. They're going to save her from the Romanis. Come on in, bros.
What is... This whole last half that we've talked about with the trial and the whodunit case and the fucking... this war going on in the streets of Paris. Just overlay this scene with... I don't know what the song is called, but the...
Oh, the fucking... Oh, the Bentley Hill?
Yes.
Whatever it's called. With Quasimodo pouring lead, helping out the army. So,
oh, thank God you're here.
Yeah, so he sees Phoebus.
We're come to take in stage away. I know, I'm hoping you can help.
So Quasimodo leads the Paris army to Esmeralda's room.
I like the whole army.
Follow that hunchback who's blind and deaf.
Nuts to butts all the way up through the corridors of Notre Dame.
Thinking like Quasimodo fucking crawl, like fucking Tarzan, like crawling around fucking like the Phantom of the Opera is his playing ground, so he knows all the nooks and crannies that he can climb through, and the army's just like
just watching him.
And they bust open the room. The room's empty. Esmeralda and her goats are gone.
Witchcraft!
Well, you see, during the attack, when Quasimodo was throwing lead rocks down at the people trying to rescue her, she escapes. Because Pierre and Frollo...
Oh, the infiltrators!
Yeah, they sneak up there in there and they get her out, and they get into a boat and they roll away the cathedral. And when they hit land... Pierre is like, look, I understand, Esmeralda, you and I, never gonna happen. I'm taking the goat. Picks up the goat and leaves.
Excellent. He can spell my
this
name real good.
This is great.
The goat can spell my name. I'm taking him with
earth
me.
Why did Esmeralda not immediately point at Frollo to Pierre, who is, by all accounts, sounds like a reasonable man that she at least has some kind of trust with?
He doesn't like a raper or anything.
That man... That holy man stabbed the captain, pinned it on me, and tried to fucking rape me.
Nope,
She's like, hey, Frollo, what's good?
Yeah, matter of fact, he leaves, and immediately Frollo drags her to the place de grave.
Oh, please, no.
And he says, so are you gonna pick me or the gallows? Fucking hang me. Give it to me now, please. I want to die. I choose death over you.
Well, it's really quite hurtful.
Which I'm sure helped with his fucking incel syndrome.
This is really quite hurtful, and if I'm being honest, the Heelys are not working so well in this gravel.
Get back here, Esmeralda!
I can't run after you or I will fall,
so,
please.
Fro doesn't know how to work the gallows.
I'm stuck in some mud.
Yep. So he has to get some sergeants. So he gives Esmeralda to the sack woman. Remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the sack woman is so happy that, you know, Esmeralda's gonna die. Because she hates the Romani.
I hate the Romani.
And she's like, you know why I hate you? Let me show
I'll
you.
I hate you.
She's like, you know why I fucking hate you and happy you're gonna die? Let me fucking show you. And she goes, and she pulls out this little tiny slipper. Your people ate my daughter. Esmeralda stares at her. Reaches into her bag.
Understand.
And pulls out the other shoe! Holy fucking shoe!
Where's my daughter? Are you mad? I am your daughter.
Oh my god, the mama? Oh my god, this is my baby!
You know what I've heard?
Yes, both Scary Movie and the others. No, you see, Esmeralda is the sack woman's daughter, Agnes. Kind of takes a steam out of the name Esmeralda, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
So now...
That's Esmeralda! No, this is Agnes. Oh. Well, that can't be a Romani.
So the sack woman finally reunited with her long-lost child. Fucking's like, I already lost you. I can't lose you again. And she's going to hide Esmeralda.
As soon as I can get out of this mud, you're in so much trouble. Yeah.
And the soldiers come in, and she's like, where'd she go? She escaped. You're a fucking bad liar. She's behind that door, isn't she? Which she was.
Oh, God.
So,
I don't know how stupid you think we are.
This Aquaman attempts to stop the soldiers.
We can see her feet under the door.
You put the piece of cloth over her. We know that she is down. So, you know, this Aquaman, this old frail woman, tries to stop the soldiers with swords that they have and shields, you know, and other pointy weapons.
Halberds and spears and pikes.
Yeah, and they just fucking... She's like, you can't do that. Stab.
Okay.
You cannot do this in my
Well, that the was easy. The Parisian guards were like, hold on, let me channel 2020 American police real quick. You said no? Stab.
Yep, and then Esmeralda's is carried to the gallows. Meanwhile, at Notre Dame, Quasimodo is upset that Esmeralda's missing because, you know, he tried to be the hero. And then he sees Frollo watching the Place de Greve from one of the towers. And he goes up to see what he's looking at. And he sees Esmeralda in the square. And then she is hanged. And Frollo laughs.
Yeah, I know about this part.
Yep. And
ha.
And Quasimodo picks him up by the nape of the neck and throws him off the tower. Yep.
Shall we rebel?
Oh, no.
Frollo is able to hang on the gutter long enough to see the abyss below him and see Quasimodo weeping. And then he falls to his death. And Quasimodo looks at Esmeralda and Frollo and proclaims that that is all that he has ever loved.
That's heartbreaking.
It is.
Man, Disney made that somehow an upbeat story by the end.
We're not over yet.
Oh, God.
That day, Quasimodo disappears. Dead. And Pierre continues to write his plays. Phoebus gets married. 2 years later, a man is, you know, he's cleaning out the vault for criminals. And he's, you know, he's like checking out dead bodies. And he found that two skeletons have been dragged away from the other ones. And one of them is a one laying down, and on his arm is the skeleton of a person with a twisted spine. And when he attempts to take this horrible deformed spine skeleton off the woman, it turns to dust. And that's the end of the story.
Yep.
Yep. Quasimodo held on to her body till he died and refused to let go until he turned to dust. It's a very happy story, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. Now, you kind of had to figure, like, with how nice and everything Disney makes up their stories from the original source material, how fucked up Hunchback of Notre Dame, that movie, was, how more fucked up the real story had to be.
You know, I have to say, though, as much as, you know, the Disney did have its difference with that, I enjoy Frollo's murder scene.
Oh, it's good.
In the Disney version, just because it's the gargoyle turning in and getting angry at him like a demon, dragging him to hell as he falls into all the molten fucking steel and shit that they threw down.
And Jared is correct, that is technically a gargoyle.
Yeah.
Because there is a difference. Technically, the beings in that movie that Quasimodo hangs out aren't gargoyles.
No?
No, because gargoyles have a... They're for water. They're extrication water. If they aren't, they're grotesques.
Interesting.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
I just know that it was a gargoyle that he holds onto, and then they chop it off, and it breaks with
and
him on
he
it.
He shall smite the wicked and send them plunging into the fiery pit.
Over here.
But, Wow, we're over an hour. That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
But you're welcome. That's Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Hellfire!
Story. I loved taking the piss out of it.
It was.
I mean, it's a lot of fucked up turns in that story, though.
It is really fucked up.
My favorite part had to be the whodunit.
Da-da-da! And much like the golem which we talked about the golem before. Yep. This is actually very early filmmaking as well. Mm-hmm. We have the 1905 French short silent film, but the most famous of the early films is the 1923 silent film starring Lon Chaney. And we're going to talk about Lon Chaney in his own episode because I love Lon Chaney. He's a great man.
You have to show me some more Lon Chaney.
The Man of a Thousand Faces. He's an... Oh, God. His son is the original Wolfman, but Lon Chaney, he did the Hunchback of Notre Dame. He did the Phantom of the Opera. Like, wow. These iconic early horror films. The Man of a Thousand Faces. Which is why he's getting his own episode, because he is such... He was such a...
Icon,
and the makeup that he did himself.
Oh, okay.
So he was great. But, and of course, the most famous adaptation is the Disney film.
Yep.
But I would love to see a modern day actual fucked up version of this movie.
You might get it. They're making did it already come out? The
live action version? Of the Disney film?
Well, they were doing two different Little Mermaids. There's a Disney version live action, and then there's...
The horror one?
There was somebody doing the actual Little Mermaid story in live action, where she's a blonde and not a redhead.
Yeah. Which is more...
darker story.
Which is more close.
But I can't remember if that one came out yet or not. I know it was come out before the Disney one.
I think that's... I don't know.
I'd have to look into it. Anyway.
But that's The Little Mermaid. Why don't we get back on The Little Mermaid?
just because, like, for that to happen, it would have to be the same thing of...
Believe it or not, there's not a lot of Hunchback of Notre Dame movies.
I wouldn't think so.
Like, yeah, the last film, really, was a 1999 parody.
Well, that's the thing, like, there wouldn't be many, because the reason Disney was able to do... the stories that they did, like Hunchback or Little Mermaid, any of those, was because they were things that hadn't really been touched, and there was so much open availability that they just bought it outright and were like, we're gonna make our own now.
Yeah, and...
Because they found that fucking loophole.
And I couldn't... And I have to say, we can't... And another good thing that they're in is Big Bad Beetleborgs. Remember? Remember talking about that?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Quincy Moto.
Not
yeah.
The name.
Yeah.
I don't think we can say another good thing that they're in. Just something else.
Well,
that
I had to bring it up because of our.
You mean our
sister
our,
show?
Yeah, our sister sister show. That's a good way to put it.
It's under the umbrella of the Oddcast Network.
That's true. The worst nostalgia trip ever taken, run by Michael Kennedy and Heather Kennedy or Heather Denny.
She is my wife. Denny legally, now. She is a Denny.
brother and sister that go over Bad Bag Beetleborgs. They're coming starting season two here. Soon, so, but go check that out because me and Anthony guest spotted on their new episode. Yeah, so go check it out.
Came out today, or which was tweeted out today.
Yeah, tweeted out today. Came out yesterday.
But, yeah, that's
or you can catch Anthony on Odd Chat.
Yeah,
which we put out yesterday. And what an Oddcast!
What an Oddcast! And where else can people find specifically you, Jared?
What an Oddcast every Monday and Thursday.
Uh huh. And.
Patreon.com/oddcastn with bonus series.
No, I mean, I wasn't getting to that. I was getting to your Twitter.
Oh, you can find me at oddcastn on Twitter or at jokeypantsgames. Whichever you prefer, you can DM us and let us know your thoughts about any of the shows, and I will reply to you.
Yeah, and hey, head out to patreon.com/oddcastn for, you know, bonus series, an ad-free version of this show.
Yeah.
Get
it a couple days early.
Yep, a couple days early when I don't have a busy schedule that weekend, which I should be able to get it to you tomorrow.
It's, you know, sometimes we get it up before it hits live for everybody. Sometimes things just happen. I mean, it'll go up ad-free regardless.
Yeah, it's ad-free. We have lives, unfortunately, outside of the podcast, so sometimes shit just happens.
Yeah, you guys can change that if you... if you rate and reviews our shows so we can start getting
get
a bit more attention.
$6,000 a month.
That's a bit much.
Well, I mean, 3,000 to each of us.
I will settle for, with any of the shows we do, just give us a rate and a review so that we can catch more attention. Because we've been doing it a while, and, you know, the numbers keep growing, so give us those rate and reviews.
Yep, well, I agree. Sven, where can people find you?
I don't know. I don't do anything on this network.
I was kind of hoping just do a ha-ha silly joke like you normally do, but, I mean, that's fine.
Other than I'm the funniest man here. But
does it hurt being as...
handsome as you are?
That's why I'm fuck ugly. It's because God made me the funniest man alive. He had to limit my power somehow, or I would challenge his throne.
Well, that's why he gave you anxiety. And you can find me at CLT_sandwich for episode releases, at Inferno Frenzy for my personal Twitter. You can also email me at thecltsandwich@gmail.com with questions, comments, hellos, or even ideas. But
yeah, if you DM us, I will reply. I know Anthony might reply.
I probably will, but people don't DM me.
Yeah, so besides you. I mean, really, honestly, if you want to say anything about any of the shows we do, literally just go to find us at OddCastN on Twitter. I'll share it with these guys no matter what it is, and we will respond to you, because I enjoy talking to people who listen.
Yeah, Chef Mike Oton typically responds to you.
Chef Mike does normally talk
to me. DM me and offer me your children.
Don't do that, folks.
Make babies with Sven. But thank you for listening to and sampling.
Sven is not breedable.
Today's. But them hips? You're them breeding hips. Thank you for listening to sampling today's flavor of CLT sandwich. We hope that you enjoyed it, and will join us next week to try a brand new one. Remember, there are whispers in the shadows, unseen creatures, and bald arch deacons on Heelys that spin like a Beyblade.
They were
time to rip it.
But do not be afraid. We are here to make them more palatable for everyone's consumption. Stay you safe and stay hungry.
Trap
bye. You gonna say bye?
No.
Okay.